Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Chris Myers and Lorenzo Pasquini. What we're going to do today is we've got two wines in front of me. I've got Chateau Parma and Alter Ego, and maybe talk a bit about what Alter Ego is and what happened to your second wine. All right, let's just talk a wee bit about second wines. Probably talking more with Chris here, but the second wines, we've got Alter Ego and we've got Chateau Parma, and there used to be a third wine, wasn't there?
Well, there used to be a second wine.
Well, this is quite an interesting conversation.
There used to be a second wine called La Réserve du Général, the General's Reserve, which was a true second wine. It was basically younger vines and lesser soil. So basically, up until 1997 was the last vintage of La Réserve du Général. Production of Parma was 90% Chateau Parma and 10% La Réserve du Général. For the 1998 vintage, they decided to scrap La Réserve.
What was the reason for that?
Because they wanted to increase the quality of Chateau Parma and have two different, instead of having a second wine, younger soil, lesser grapes, etc., as a proper second wine, they wanted to have another style of Parma, a kind of the almost younger brother, if you like. So in 1998, they stopped La Réserve and they created another wine called Alter Ego. And label, if you look at the label, Alter Ego is the other me. It's black on gold and not gold on black. So the 10% that was La Réserve du Général is now sold off as bulk.
You still own the vineyards, are you not looking to sell them?
No, still the wine, we still have the vineyard. So they're sold off as bulk, but it changes because it's younger vines, so obviously that changes the whole time as well. And the remaining 90% that was Chateau Parma is now split kind of almost 50-50 into Chateau Parma and Alter Ego. So obviously by doing this, we're increasing the quality of Chateau Parma. And we're having another wine. We don't call it, it's not a second wine, it's another wine from Parma that, as Lorenzo said, is to be drunk between kind of up to 10, 12 years. Obviously, you can keep them for longer, but that's the kind of style of wine we're making. More kind of fruit-based wine than more of a kind of a backbony wine like Chateau Parma. And Parma you can drink from 10 up to 50 or 100 years, at least.
Have you had wines that old?
The oldest wine that I had here in Palmer was 1928, and it was the best wine I had in my life, and I'm sincere.
Are you sure? Because I've heard old wines before, and people use descriptions like exceptional, fantastic. They never say good.
I will say...
They use a lot of really nice words, but never say the wine was really nice.
For me, it was a great experience because there was a bomb.
Yeah, no, that's the type of word to say it was a great experience.
Trust me, there was a great experience because there was a bomb, a really super wine. And I was there like since 1 or 2 months. I just arrived when I tasted the wine. And I realized special place that was on, because here we make wine since the 18th century, and you can taste the wine that was done almost 100 years ago with zero technology or almost, and that was a great wine. So you understand the power of terroir, and you really understand that terroir is not just a word; it's a DNA. It's something that exists, and it reflects on the wines that you can taste that are super old and still super good.
Okay, what about, one of the things I want to talk about is the evolution of the wines, but I'll just tidy up this, I just want to confirm with Chris about the second label, not really a second label, it's an alter ego wine, because usually a second label by definition is a wine that you use to improve the quality of the primary wine. Really, you know, you if you've got some fruit that isn't quite as good, you take it out, you put it in the second label, therefore you produce a decent second wine, but the quality of the primary wine is better. And the way you described it was it's an alternative wine, slightly earlier drinking, but yet at the same time it improves the quality of the primary wine. So that, to me, does scream second label.
On paper it does, yeah.
On paper, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you guys are like, no, it's not second label. So I'm putting the pressure on you here, Chris. You know, is it a second label or is it an alternative wine?
It's a wine to be drunk young. Mm-hmm. A lot of people call it second wine, but really, when they're Thomas Duroux, who's our CEO, and Sabrina Pernet, our technical director, when they're going into the vineyard, 50% of alter ego is a plot. So they know that half of the alter ego is always going to be the same plot of alter ego.
Yep.
The remaining 50% is just tasting the berries before harvest and during vinification, maybe slightly lower temperatures, less pumping over, less new wood for the aging. And it's only once the wine's in barrel, when they're tasting the wine, they'll say, that's Parma and that's alter ego.
Let me ask this question. On a great vintage, say 2005 or 09, 10, did you produce more Chateau Parma and less alter ego, or did you still maintain the ratio of sort of Chateau Parma to alter ego?
In 2009, 2010, we produced our average production, which is 60% Parma and 40% alter ego. In 2013, for example, we produced 3,800 cases of Parma and 8,000 cases of alter ego.
So more alter ego.
So we basically switched two-thirds, one-third instead of 60-40.
Yeah, yeah.
So we produced much more alter ego than we did Parma.
That sounds, you know, if it barks like a dog and walks like a dog, a duck, sorry, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck.
It could be a dog.
It could be a dog, right? I think it's the same label. Okay. And let's moving into the winery. Before we do that, the pricing, those, you went from all Chateau Parma, you know, pretty much all the plots went into the Chateau Parma before your alter ego came along, and you were extracting a certain amount of money from the market for that, and then you produced alter ego, and the wine is quite a bit cheaper than Chateau Parma, isn't it? So did you, even though the prices are going up, it seems like an opportunity to lose money, or not lose money, but you're almost not making as much money from it.
Well, the price of Parma has increased a lot over the last few years. Yeah. We're obviously making less, but the price has increased. And the price of alter ego has increased as well. So we're not losing any money.
No, I'm sure you're not. certainly not. Okay. And just quickly, we've touched on a wee bit on the vinification and winemaking techniques. Is there anything in the viticultural side that you would do differently in the vineyard, or is it very, you know, Chris was saying that half the alter ego is, you know what half the alter ego is, you know what half the Parma is, and it's just that bit in the middle that you're not quite sure which way you're going to split the fruit.
On the blocks that we know that we'll do alter ego, as Chris said, there is something we do about, for instance, cover crop or nitrogen or hydric stress that we can adapt for the enologic, let's say, goal, so Parma or alter ego. But then the great what we do in the vineyards is try to adapt on the vintage and try to do best as possible. So let's say that the difference is, as he said, on tasting the berries, vinification, and then tasting the wine.
Before we close up, you said that you tasted a 1929 wine? 1928. So I don't know, 28, was it a good year?
I don't know, but the wine was
awesome,
good.
Yeah. 28 was one of the best vintages of the... At least from 1900 to 1945, 28 was the best vintage.
Was it? Okay, so you've tried a cracking example. How you know what the wines taste like now? How did it change going from, you know, how would a wine a Chateau Parma? How would you guys expect it to evolve over time? You know, particularly structurally, but also aromatically.
The goal for us is to make wine which looks younger than what it is. This is, to me, this is the definition of a great wine. And so I would like these wines to age very, very slow. But during the time, they will, for sure, the tannins will combine with the anthocyanins and with the tannins. So they will be softer and softer. The color will change, will go a little browner, but very slowly, as I said, and the aromas will change. We will pass from fresh fruits to ripe fruits, and then probably to smoke aromas or something like this. But as I said, what I would like is that these wines will change very slowly.
Yeah. What about your city? Like a lot of people say that as a wine gets older, the acidity appears to decrease. Mm-hmm. But I've spoken to winemakers and they say, no, that's true. But in actual fact, if you do some analysis of the wine, the pH hasn't changed.
The pH is the sensation of acidity.
So the perception of acidity decreases, but the wine's actual acidity doesn't change. Do you know why that's happening?
That's a good question. Probably because tannins help acidity, help the perception of acidity. And so while tannins binds with other compounds, you percept a little less acidity. But the acidity is very important for aging.
Yeah.
So probably that's why.
Certainly, I agree. Tannins and acidity, tannins tend to highlight acidity. Acidity tends to highlight tannins. So if the tannins are polymerizing and coming out of the wine, forming mm-hmm. that sediment, then you're going to, and they're softening out, then perhaps the acidity does appear to decrease. So that does make a bit of sense. What about alcohol? Some people think that for a wine to age long term, you need high alcohols. But my experience is that as the fruit dries up over time, mm-hmm. you know, the fruit tends to hide the alcohol. So if you've got high alcohol wines, whilst alcohol is a preservative, particularly for microbiological area, if you got too high in alcohol, the wine and it starts losing the fruit, the alcohol starts to hang out a bit too much.
Mm-hmm. And the point is that if you have high alcohol, you probably have ripe fruit, so low acidity. So for the microbiological stability and for the life of the wine, that's not very good. So that won't help the wine to be kept, during the time. So indirectly, the high alcohol doesn't help the life of the wine.
How does that affect then things like alcohol levels in Bordeaux have been slowly creeping up? You know, they're sort of, you know, 12% a few years, you know, mm-hmm. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, now then 12.5%. Now 13 is starting to become quite common. I've tasted mm-hmm. a load of 13.5% wines recently. Mm-hmm. So we're creeping up. Does that mean that perhaps the ageability of Bordeaux may be decreasing over time?
Just the time will answer your question, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because the acidity and the balance of the wine is still there. So probably if you harvest too late, and you will have too low acidity, so the life of the wine will be shorter. But now what we try to do, I can talk about the wine we do here. What we try to do is to have balanced wine with good acidity, and we look for a wine that we can keep for, as I said, 50 years. So I don't think that a slight more alcohol will create a problem for the life of the wine.
Normally, I think of acidity coming down uh-huh. and sugar levels going up at ripeness. Uh-huh. And therefore, you're getting higher sugar levels. Therefore, I expect the acidity to be low. What you're saying is that the acidity is still the same. It's just that you're getting slightly higher sugar levels in the fruit. Is that right?
Of course, it depends on the vintage. And of course, if you have lower sugar, you will have more acidity. But we're not passing from 12 to 14. We're passing, as you said, from 12.5 to 13 or 13.5. So there is not a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And then it depends on a bunch of parameters of climate and of the vintage. So I wouldn't say that this 0.5 more percent of alcohol will change something about the life of the wine.
Okay. All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.